Welcome to Let's Talk, the half hour where we join various guests from around our community. Now, let's talk.
Welcome to the program, listeners. Tyler Friel with you on WISR, 680 AM, 107.5 FM. This is Let's Talk, the half hour where we sit down and chat with various guests around our community, businesses, local organizations as well. And today, we welcome back to the program, Culture Travel. Jewel Rozanski is here again. Jewel, always good to see you. Welcome back to the show.
Thanks. Good to see you, too.
So we're going to get into a recent trip that you had with your organization. And actually, we have a special guest with us joining us by phone. His name is Rob Armstrong. He joins us live from Detroit, Michigan, and was recently on a trip to Europe with Jewel and Culture Travel. Rob, nice to meet you. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, Tyler. Appreciate you having me.
So we're going to get into their recent trip to Egypt and some of the fun things that happened there and what a trip with Cultured Travel looks like. But before that, as always, we like to remind you, we will be here for the next half hour. So if you can stick around for 30 minutes, we do have you covered. You can go online to WISR680.com, look under our programs page. There you'll be able to find today's conversation with Cultured Travel and the Let's Talk show with all of our previous shows here on Let's Talk. You're also able to find us on Spotify as well. So if you're a Spotify listener, you can find us there as a podcast. You can find us on the St. Barnabas Radio mobile app. You can also find us on your desktop, your smart speaker, anywhere where you get audio. You can find us here on the Let's Talk program. So once again, we're chatting with Cultured Travel and Jewel Rozanski, our guest, as for a week off the trip from Egypt, Jewel?
Yeah, just got back Saturday before last.
So was it 20 and snowy in Egypt?
No, like 80 and sun every single day. It was amazing.
So this is a little bit different. But first of all, before we dive into the trip to Egypt, just Cultured Travel overall, in case people aren't familiar with the with what you do, what exactly is the organization all about?
Yeah, so the best way I could explain it is probably like a tour operator. So we actually design and build our own tours to different places throughout the world, and those places are chosen based on our relationships with locals and being able to offer something unique that's not necessarily brought to the table by a bunch of other big box companies.
So you went to Egypt then, and how long was that trip?
Yeah, it was just about 2 weeks, a little under 2 weeks, and it's something we've done every year, actually, since before COVID. My business partner did, and I've been doing it since 2022.
Very cool stuff. Rob, how did you learn about Jewel's organization, Cultured Travel?
Yeah, so one of my best friends, best childhood friends, I grew up with him forever on the shores of Lake Michigan. He called me to say, hey, you know, I went to Egypt 6 years ago, and I'm returning again with this great company. And it's a very sort of boutique, very bespoke itinerary that's put together. And not only is Egypt just amazing, but, you know, we're going to kind of handpick the couples. And you'll make lifelong friends and see some incredible things you've never seen before. And I'd also add, too, that this is a very foreign kind of travel for me. I usually don't engage with a tour company to do these kind of things, and maybe I'm a little bit of a control freak, but I will say that, you know, a place like Egypt is maybe a bridge too far in my mind in terms of you need outside help, you need expert help, and as Jewel would say, you need local contacts to really pull off a trip like this and know that you're going to be just delighted at every corner.
Had this been something in terms of travel to Egypt that had been on your mind, or was it really just spurred on by your friend?
So I'd say Egypt was probably maybe top 10 destination on my mind. My wife, though, I would say it's probably number one or two on her bucket list. So like I said, I always knew that I'd want to go to the Middle East someday, but I didn't think that I could possibly plan something like this on my own.
And Jewel, just to get back to, in the last time we had you on the program too, you talked about what goes into the research here and designing a trip and everything like that. So how does this work for you? How does it come to be where you believe that you can build an itinerary that'll be really enjoyable for folks like Rob?
Yeah, so this one took quite a while. Rob's friend, Mel, who he's talking about, he knows my business partner. And so my business partner started with our Egypt itinerary a while ago, like I said, prior to COVID, actually. And then that itinerary's even been made better through an Egyptologist we know, Dr. Bob Breyer, who's done
That's
several...
That's a job? Egyptologist.
Yes.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And we have an Egyptologist with us now too, since Dr. Bob's retired. But so he's added different components to the itinerary too. And then we specifically private charter a boat that only like one other tour company takes out, that is a 1917 steamship. So it's not something else that you can just find online and sign up for. It's really incredible. So having that, and then having the company that owns that kind of do what we were like, hey, we want to do this, or our Egyptologist wants to do this, and then they build it for us.
So, Rob, with this being your first trip with Jewel and Cultured Travel, just walk me through what some of the run-up before the trip looked like, in case anybody's interested in participating in this, what kind of the organization looked like, what you learn before you even get on the plane to head over to Egypt.
That's a great question, and organization is probably the key word there. So there were maybe two or three different Zoom calls that we did to kind of introduce some of the other players that were going to be on the boat with us. We had 7 nights on the Nile River on that steamship called the SS Kareem. It's a 1917 steamship paddle wheel boat. It's absolutely gorgeous inside and outside. So the organization really did a great job, I think, of introducing other people that were going to be on the boat. And then everything from, you know, let's double check your passports, let's double check all your flights. Jewel did a great job of having sort of a master list of when everybody was coming in. Visas were handled, things like that. And then one of the probably greatest things that I don't know really people talk about much, because there were so many other great things on the trip, is you arrive in Egypt and you're tired from a long flight and everything, but there's somebody there with a note card, you know, waiting to pick you up and actually take you all the way through all the security checkpoints and all the things you have to do to exit the airport. And I have to say, that was it's the little things like that that, again, if I were to plan this on my own, I would have been stressing over. But like, Jewel just handled all the details, and the level of communication was great too. We have a WhatsApp channel for, you know, all the travelers that we're still communicating on, even though we've been back a week now. Because like my friend Mel said, you will make lifelong friends on this trip. And he was right. So there are some people that I'm still communicating with that I didn't know before this trip, and expect to be communicating with them long term too.
And Jewel, have you found that to be the case with other trips that you've organized?
Yeah, I mean, it's one of the things I love the most about this job, I think, is just seeing the connections that people make and the differences people make on each other's lives, not just there in that moment, but for the long haul. And I have a lot of people that traveled together once as strangers, and then they're like, well, where's the next place we can go together? What's the next thing we can do together? And I love seeing those friendships unfold.
I think Rob brings up a really good point, because I know just even when we travel, it feels like we look at the destination and go, okay, well, this is what I'm going to do here. But I've been to airports in the U.S. and I don't know how to get out. You know what I mean? And so kind of taking that out, especially when you're in a foreign country, I'm sure that's a big deal, even though it seems like, as Rob mentioned, a small note, but it's a really big deal to make a trip move very efficiently, especially in a foreign country.
Yeah, I don't ever, no matter where we go, I don't ever want my people coming in and being like, my first impression is like, what am I supposed to do? Where am I supposed to go? And feeling stressed. Like, I never want a trip to be stressful for anyone. I want it to always be like pure joy. So yeah, having that in Egypt, having people just show up that are going to take care of you from the time you get off the plane is really crucial.
So Rob, go ahead.
I don't know about you. I don't know about you, Tyler, but I don't read Arabic really well.
No, it's not my specialty.
When you get into an airport like that, and you're looking at the signs, and there's arrows, but there's also a whole bunch of Arabic writing, and you're like, I'm not sure where I'm supposed to go. So it was just great to, you know, see somebody there that had the Cultured Travel sign in his hand, and, you know, they just whisk you through the process. They know exactly all the tips and tricks to do that.
Again, we're here chatting with Rob Armstrong. He was on a recent trip with Cultured Travel to Egypt. So, Rob, you step out of the airport, you start to take in Egypt. What was your first takeaway?
Chaotic, maybe, is probably a good word. People will tell you very quickly that, you know, there's a lot of activity in Egypt, and it's very sort of frenetic. I would never ever try to get a driver's license in Egypt. I would tell you that. There are lines painted on the roads, but they are mere guidelines, I think, and people don't pay any attention to them. And the dance that goes on with all the cars and the honking, and it's their way of life. It's not necessarily my way of life. So you very quickly realize you're in a foreign land.
In a good way. Yeah.
In a good way.
And that's what, I just out of curiosity, had you traveled to any other countries before?
I've been to a lot of other countries. I've been to, I guess, Australia and New Zealand, so it's kind of a long flight too. But, it's more of an English-speaking place too. So I think you assimilate quicker. Where in this culture, it's very different, I think, than what I'm used to. So I mentioned tips and tricks. There are definitely tips and tricks to how things operate in faraway places. And, you know, to be able to rely on an organization that has already been there and, knows the way to get through things like that was just super valuable to me.
Joel, it really feels like, at least again, I just, you know, this is a assumption, I could be wrong, but Egypt really feels like an area where it does different, you know, some language barriers that exist as well, that if you are going to make the travel to Egypt, having somebody like Cultured Travel is going to be big, because I wouldn't even know where to begin if I got off a plane there.
Yeah, I feel like that and Turkey too, when we go there, it's like, hey, Toto, we're not in Kansas anymore.
Exactly.
It's like immediate, you kind of feel that way. So yeah, it's great. And you know, I've been there enough times, I feel super comfortable going there. And then it's like, I get to see my friends that live there when I go there now. And then I feel, and Rob, correct me if I'm wrong there, but I feel like that vibe carries through, like with all the people that we work with, like Same, our tour guide, and with the crew on the ship. They're the same guys I've been working with, the people in the airport, for years now. So it's like, we know they've got our backs. Like, they'll take care of us. They'll translate for us. They'll do what we need and help us out.
You had mentioned the Egyptologist that was sort of attached at our hip for the whole trip. And you're right. It's probably one of the better ologists that you're going to run into. an Egyptologist was awfully handy, because at the end of the day, you know, I thought a lot about what made this trip special on the way home. And, you know, there's so much history in Egypt, obviously. I mean, you're looking at things that were carved in 1300 BC, you know, things that are just mind blowing. And you're looking at all these hieroglyphs and all these incredible temples and all these incredible paintings. But if you didn't have somebody like an Egyptologist there that is, you know, really interpreting and translating what you're looking at, I think it would have been a far less impactful trip. So, I mean, we just learned so much about Egypt. And I think if I would have just gone as sort of an average tourist that did this on my own, I would have come back saying, wow, I saw a lot of cool stuff. I don't really know what it was, but it was, you know, interesting and pretty colors, you know, things like that. It would have been so much more of a surface understanding. And I think to have an expert with you in the trip, interpreting and translating what it is you're looking at, I think was just incredibly valuable.
So just give me an example. I mean, I'm sure every day changed, but what maybe day one looked like for you guys, or day two, just to give an idea for listeners as to what they could expect on a trip like this.
Yeah, day one, I'll gloss over the, I think, the maybe 6 or 8 hours that we spent at the Cairo Le Méridien Airport, right at the airport, because that was just kind of a whirlwind. I mean, we really kind of came in, showered, might have taken a quick nap. And then we're off to Aswan the next day. And in Aswan, we stayed 2 nights, Jewel, I think, at the old Cataracts Hotel.
Yeah, we did.
which is, you know, of course, where Agatha Christie wrote Death on the Nile. You know, Winston Churchill had stayed there. And so you go and you check into your room and you walk through your room and you look out on your balcony and you're looking down the Nile. And it was just an incredible experience, a great, beautiful old hotel. But the thing that I was, and I love that part of it, but the thing I was really looking most forward to is I'm a big boater. So I was super excited to get on the boat. And that was, you know, what, 2 days later, 3 days later that we boarded the SS Kareem, which was a fabulous experience, far surpassed my expectations. And I would say two of the things on the boat that really stuck out to me is, first of all, the level of attention to detail of the service on the boat. And, you know, I'd had that conversation with the manager that ran, that kind of led the group of waiters and bartenders and everything else that makes the boat run. And I'm not sure he fully understood because of the language barrier, but I was trying to get, you know, the notion to him that your people operate at such a high plane of service, you know, and it's almost like if you think back to how Ritz-Carlton used to always train people in terms of hospitality and, you know, how the little things matter. These people have that absolutely nailed. So, I mean, it was far surpassed what I usually experience here in the States, for sure.
So this is really first-class setup then, Rob?
Absolutely, first class. And then the second thing on the boat that, you know, apart from just being on the boat, is the food was off the charts. And, you know, there were three meals a day and all the food you could possibly want, and all of it just high caliber, incredible taste, some of it very authentic Egyptian food, some of it more recognizable things maybe to Americans. But the food was incredible. The chef was amazing.
So I think the last time we had Jewel on, I talked about food probably for like half the show, but Egyptian cuisine then, can you explain it? What does it actually taste like? What types of food are we looking at?
I'm not sure I can explain it. I love lamb. So there was certainly a lot of lamb. There's a lot of chicken. There was a lot of fish. We actually had a couple of vegetarians on our trip, and they were unbelievably accommodating to the vegetarians. And, you know, talking to those people, they said they couldn't believe the amount of selections and choices that they had. So, you know, they were just very accommodating that way. But, you know, the smells, the presentation, everything that the chef and his entire staff pulled off was great.
Did it have a very, I mean, you're talking about a 1917 boat here. Did it have a very throwback, classy feel to the trip, that this was, you know, it sounds like obviously a very unique experience, Rob, but I'm sure it was an experience that you've never felt before.
I would agree with that. It feels like there are many places on the boat that sort of feel like going into an old library or an old maybe sort of burled, wood paneling office kind of thing. It's a lot of dark woods, a lot of great, you know, light and windows too. There's actually a treadmill on the boat, which some of the younger folks took advantage of. There was a hot tub that I don't think anybody ever got into. But, you know, so it has some modern conveniences, I guess. Actually, it has all the modern conveniences you'd want. And then we actually did get tours of sort of the bowels of the boat, like, you know, what makes this thing run? How is it that we're able to drink water on this boat? You know, just things like that. So they do have modern conveniences in the boat. We went up to the helm and, you know, where they actually steer the boat. And I own a boat, and I would tell you that I have a lot more advanced electronics than what these guys use. But I don't think it really matters. You know, they know the Nile very well. And I think the other boats that you see on the Nile know that boat very well, too. So they kind of get out of their way, I get the sense of. But, it felt like you were just in a very peaceful, serene setting on a gorgeous boat.
So, Jewel, why the boat as the primary? I mean, obviously, this thing seems really cool, but when you were planning a trip to Egypt, why was the boat such a big, important, you know, trip aspect for you?
Yeah, so again, that would actually be my business partner's decision, but it was certainly a smart one. So he had went on a Uniworld cruise and actually saw this boat and wanted to tour it. And it only holds 28 people max. So instead of having one of the floating cities that just looks like everyone else's floating city going down the Nile, like everybody on all of the other boats is stopping and taking pictures
What's
of our
that?
Boat
yeah.
and videoing our boat as it's going by, just because it's so cool. And Mel, again, Rob's friend and the gentleman that I worked with and who had been on the tour before with us, he best described it as like you can go on a more luxurious, if you will, boat. And that might be like taking a Cadillac Escalade or something for a ride somewhere. Or you can take like a 1920s Rolls Royce somewhere. Which one are you going to remember?
Yeah.
So it makes the experience just another level that is unique and different, I think, than others.
Now, do you make stops along the way? Oh, go ahead, Rob.
Thanks, Tyler. I would add to that, too, that I think what makes it unique in a place like Egypt, and I learned this when we were flying somewhere, you look down and you see the Nile River and you see this sort of green ribbon on either side of the Nile, right? The statistic that Same had told me, the Egyptologist, was Egyptians live in 7% of the land mass of their country. Because the other 93% is desert. So when you think about how best to travel through that country, it's absolutely being on the Nile, because otherwise, you know, desert's kind of desert and it doesn't change much. There's not, you know, it looks pretty much the same as you drive through it. The Nile is very, very much changing because you're seeing cities like, and correct me if I get this wrong, Jewel, but Edfu, Aswan, Luxor, you see cities like that along the way. And then you also just see, you know, nothing but palm trees or a few farmers or, you know, a donkey pulling an alfalfa cart with a farmer riding on top of it in the middle of nowhere. But again, if you were on a tour bus trying to see Egypt, you'd probably just be looking at a lot of sand.
So that's got to be, as you mentioned, when you're taking a look at all these different cities, and that's what I was going to ask you next, Rob, is just what these different cities look like and what, you know, these different towns look like along the way. Were there a lot of similarities? Were there a lot of differences? How did you kind of take in all those different locations?
Yeah, I would say that they all stood out as being really different, actually. And so, you know, Aswan, I'd say fairly, I guess it was built up. I mean, it's certainly built up and it's very dense in areas. And then Edfu, probably a little bit smaller than that. Luxor, fairly sizable. Cairo, of course, which is where we ended up, was, we flew from Luxor to Cairo. Very, very busy, you know, very much sort of a New York vibe almost. So I would say every single stop along the way was unique. It didn't feel like, you know, Edfu was like Luxor or whatever. Each one of them stood out as their own independent memory.
So when you stop in these towns, was a lot of it based off of historical sites, just, you know, interesting places to go? How did you guys navigate each town?
Yeah, generally I would say we stopped off of them because of the significance of the temples and the things to visit in each city or town. And one thing I wanted to point out too is, you know, there may be some concern about traveling to the Middle East, and that may be very applicable in some places. I can tell you that never once did I feel unsafe, and never once did I experience anything other than incredible friendliness and friendships from Egyptians. They are an incredibly welcoming, friendly. They actually have a great sense of humor. And I would say that, you know, my wife and I, Lori, we walked through some parts of, where were we? We were in Edfu, I think, or maybe it was Luxor. And, you know, we were walking in residential streets at night. And, you know, you're looking at places that you wouldn't normally think you'd want to live in, but people certainly do. And instead of being concerned about where you are or being worried, you actually find yourself kicking a soccer ball with some 10-year-old kids in a dirt street. And it was just so fun that way. We got lost a couple times, you know, talked to Egyptians that understood English just enough. And they were so friendly. If they didn't actually take you to where you needed to go, they would certainly point the way. And again, never felt unsafe once.
And Jewel, do folks on your trips have a chance to kind of use some free time where I'm sure you maybe give them some suggestions, but for them to actually explore the areas that they're going to?
Yeah, they do. This trip probably has a little less than most cultured travel tours just because we are on the boat a lot of the times. But when we do get out, I always encourage people to go explore, especially because it is so safe. And it's, you mean, you just never know what you're going to stumble upon if you're out poking around on your own, and what you're going to see and what's going to make an impact on you. So
I know, Rob, just in my experience of, you know, you read a textbook or see something online, and then when you actually see it in person, nothing you ever saw previously did it justice. Was that kind of your takeaway with a lot of Egyptian architecture, Egyptian art, is that this was something that would be really impressive to see in person?
Undoubtedly, and it's hard to even describe how much you have to see it in person. So, you know, the temples and things, you almost feel like every temple is definitely different. And one thing we did that was sort of off script is a small group of us, I think there were only six or seven of us, went to a place called Dendera, which is a different temple, and it was about a 2-hour bus ride one way, and you know, and that's straight through desert, which was interesting to look at on the way and on the way back. But I have to say, and Jewel, I think you would agree, first of all, Samre the Egyptologist was completely into it. I mean, he was so excited that we wanted to go. And Dendera was probably the most mind-blowing. I'm getting goosebumps right now just talking about it. It actually brought tears to my eyes walking through that temple. It was just so stunningly gorgeous. So that was great. And the one thing I would say about free time, though, is I wouldn't call it a knock on the trip, but I wish I would have had maybe 3 more days to spend at the new gem, which is the Grand Egyptian Museum. So I think that just opened a couple months ago. And we had, I think, 2.5 hours there, Jewel.
Yeah, and it's so big.
Literally, I would fly back just to Cairo, and I would devote 3 to 4 full days of just going to the gem. But you can spend one full day at the Tutankhamun exhibit with over 5,000 artifacts in it. And the amount of gold and just brilliance and gemstones and history in that wing alone was just mind-blowing. So, yeah, I wish I would have had more time in the gem.
Well, Rob, we're actually on the tail end of our conversation here. For folks who are thinking about it, somebody that might be on the fence, I know it sounds like you're giving it a glowing review, which is awesome, but you know, what's your message to people, one who maybe not alone just Egypt, but any type of foreign travel, what's your message to folks, and why was it really great to work with Jewel and Cultured Travel for this one?
Yeah, I think if I compare it to a lot of the travel that I just kind of wing it and plan on my own, like the Caribbean, for example. I know many, many islands in the Caribbean. It's super simple to just, you know, do your web research and look at a bunch of Yelp reviews or whatever and figure out where you want to go. That's manageable, I would say. If you really want to go someplace where you're not, where it's a very foreign land and you're not worried about all of, you know, how do I navigate through the airport and, oh my God, like, do I get a taxi? Do I get Uber? You know, how do people even get around in Egypt? Who can I trust? You know, how do I get to the airport? To me, a destination like that requires an expert. And what I loved about Jewel and her organization is that they're the expert, but they also know that they need somebody in country to rely on to know all those tips and tricks, because I think that's sort of the secret sauce in cultured travels game plan is that they have feet on the street. They have people that have been there. They've got a lot of experience with it because countries change too, right? So you want to make sure that you've got somebody there that knows the latest nuances to how the country's going to operate. So I hands down, I would recommend Jewel. I think I've already written at least one review on it.
Yeah,
so Jewel, I've joined the 100% club of your 5-star reviews, I think.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
It was a great experience. I want to go back.
And you actually are planning another one this year, correct, Jewel?
Yeah, November of 2026. I still have openings.
Still have an openings on that one. If people want to reach out and start that conversation or start putting a plan together, what do they need to do?
Yeah, they can go to my website, which is culturedtravel.org, or they can check out my Facebook page as well, which is just facebook.com/culturedtravel. And it's me that you'll reach. So if you have a call, if you send a text, if you send an email, you'll get me eventually, if not right away. So I'm always happy to talk to people about it. It's just a life-changing experience that I want people to have.
And also, I know we talked about the Egypt trip, but other trips as well that people can find on that website too,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, there's lots of different things going on.
Both domestically and foreign, correct?
Yep.
There we go. Jewel Rozanski of Cultured Travel, Rob Armstrong, a recent, returner from Egypt, and enjoyed a trip there. Rob, really appreciate the time, appreciate the insight, and thanks for the stories.
Thank you for your interest.
And then Jewel Rozanski. Jewel, always good to chat with you.
Thank you. Thank you, Tyler. Thank you, Rob.
Hey, if you missed any of our program, as always, you can find it online. WISR680.com is the place to take care of that. We're also available on Spotify as well. You've been listening to Let's Talk on WISR.
The information and opinions shared on this program are solely those of our guests and do not necessarily represent those of WISR, the Butler County Radio Network, or its staff and employees.